big question in most people's mind is who's the quarterback going to be? Not only for Oklahoma, I mean, I think most people feel like it's a long shot on Dylan Gabriel. But, Mark, have you heard any information on who the quarterback might be for the Longhorns?
I have not. I mean, I think that probably Hudson Card has played well enough to continue to keep the job. There's no reason to rush Quinn Ewers back. So Texas offense was pretty explosive last week against West Virginia, who's not terrible on defense. Not terrible. I thought they looked pretty good.
They did, but on the other hand, and I watched a lot of that game, Marcus.
I did as well.
I'm just saying the way that Texas did that, I still don't like the way that Texas is run blocking. I know they can run the ball because they got great running backs, but you know what I'm saying? It's not the type of deal where the running backs, you know, getting up ahead of steam for 5 yards without being hit. They're having to make people miss in the backfield a lot of times and just making yards because they're a great back. But the way Texas won that game, in my opinion, against West Virginia, they were just throwing it deep here and then deep here. And, you know, they were just getting big plays in the passing game, right?
Yeah, but they get the ball to Bijan in space, too, at times. You know, they can throw it to him out of the backfield.
No question. Yeah,
and they are deep. I mean, again, they between Whittington,
yeah,
Sanders, and Worthy, those guys have all caught 20 passes.
Oh, yeah. No, they got receivers. Right?
That's, to me, is a really, really good, as good as anybody, I think, in the country in terms of running back, wide receiver, tight end. Real good.
Yeah, I'm just saying they just didn't overpower West Virginia. They just passed them to death is what they did.
I'm guessing you're not going to lock OU this week, but are you leaning towards picking them?
Toward picking OU?
Uh-huh.
Hey, listen, I was on Texas on this game from the preseason. I thought Texas would win this game. I thought that Oklahoma would come into this game undefeated and then, you know, get a big surprise from the Longhorns because I thought coming into the season, OU would only lose like two games, but I thought this could be one of them. I really do. I feel, but before last week, I felt pretty strong for Texas. Texas, on the other hand, you know, the Texas Tech game still bothers me because, you know, Texas has two losses. I thought they outplayed Alabama and should have won the game, even losing Ewers at middle of the first quarter. If Ewers plays the whole game, I don't think there's any question that Texas would have beaten Alabama. What bothers me is they blew a 14-point lead against Tech, and to me, that one is all on Sarkisian. He just went into a shell. And I've talked about when Tech went for it, one of the only two times they missed on fourth down, they went 6 for 8. But they went for it on a 4th and 5 at their own 40, and Texas stops them, and they run the ball into the middle like 3 out of 4 plays. The game, and that's when they had a 10-point lead. At one point, they had a 14-point lead. But they were just way, way too conservative. They were playing not to lose in that game. So they got beat against Tech. They lose a close one. They in my mind, they should be defeated right now.
They could be undefeated. I wonder if anybody on the station is going to take OU in the points.
Traber already said he will.
I don't know how you pick this game not knowing the quarterback situation at Oklahoma, but the one thing that I do think that getting the points, and if Oklahoma's defense could rally back, I mean, this is Oklahoma would be losing 3 games in a row. I'm tempted to take the points just because I don't know how to pick this game. And we don't have much reporting about what's going to happen at quarterback. I agree with you guys. I don't think there's any way that Dylan Gabriel can play in this game. So as discombobulated as Oklahoma looked on defense, I mean, on offense after Dylan Gabriel left the game last week, I don't have a whole lot of faith in them except for maybe the defense can rally and look like they did earlier in the season. But I know whether that was Nebraska being way worse than I thought they would be or OU's defense actually playing better earlier on.
The last 8 times they've played in the Cotton Bowl, the game was been within 7 points.
Within 7 points, yeah. I heard you say that.
So the series has been really close.
Have you seen – do any of those teams resemble, on the Oklahoma side of things, do any of those teams resemble this Oklahoma Sooner team?
It's a good question. I have to go back and think. So in that – that is from 15 on, I believe.
No. Yeah, from 20, from, from 15 on. I don't know. That 20 team had already lost a couple.
Wait, the 2014 OU team was rated 11th. They weren't real good.
The 2014 team ended up not being very good, but you said the last 7 years, which would start at 15.
So the streak goes back. Streak goes back to 14. Right?
Okay. Yeah, because this would be the eighth meeting in that series.
Yeah, the last time that night
started 14.
The last time that it was more than a touchdown game was 2013.
Okay. 31-26
in 2014.
Just because of that, it's going to be close this week.
Absolutely not. I'm not picking OU. I'm going to take Texas. I'm just asking OU.
If you want to, I was going to maybe bet a pizza that the game wouldn't be within 7 points or whatever. Maybe that streak will come to an end. But
No, I'm not taking that bet. That's a sucker bet.
Just not
because
seeing
the pass is a bit
biter.
Close. I think Texas wins the game and does cover the spread.
Okay, the Texas quarterback situation, Marcus. And I know, Hudson Card, you're right. He played well last week. That was maybe his best game. If you knew, and he was suited up last week, right? But if I understand he's been practicing, if you knew that he was healthy and ready to go, you're saying you just stick with Card because, hey, he's been playing well. There's no reason to switch right now.
Absolutely not. I would go back to Ewers if he's healthy. But
okay.
That sprained UC joint, AC joint, is that's a pretty tough. I mean, I think Sarkisian just kind of playing games with him. I mean, I think that's a 4 to 6 week injury no matter what, and we're coming up on week four. But
yeah.
But my point, wasn't saying that Ewers or that the Card is better than Ewers. I
don't
rush a guy back when somebody's playing well.
Especially against Oklahoma. If you really feel like that you're far better than Oklahoma, why rush him against Oklahoma?
Yeah, you don't rush that guy back. It's like what we were talking about with Dak Prescott. With why rush Dak back against teams that you ought to be able to beat with Cooper Rush? So I look at Texas being in the same type of situation. They can win with Card. So why do they need to rush Ewers back? And if Ewers is available, and they get in a situation where they need him, they could bring him off the bench. But I don't think there's any reason to push him into that game unnecessarily. They ought to be able to beat Oklahoma the way that they played the last couple of weeks with credit quarterback.
And they got Iowa State at home next week, and then a big game in Stillwater 2 weeks from now. Texas does. So.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is put Ewers back in and get him re-injured knowing that you got that Oklahoma State game coming down the pike. Wouldn't you rather get through Oklahoma and Iowa State, get to 6 weeks on the injury, which is the outer end of or the far end of the recovery time, and then let him go full blast? That's what I would do.
So, Marcus, what percent chance that everyone's going to be surprised and Dylan Gabriel trots out there as the OU quarterback in the first series?
Matt, you got it ready?
I really...
Zero.
Let's go to the office of the dean.
I think,
Mr. Blutarski, 0.0.
Okay, no chance, huh? Zero. Okay.
I don't think
I don't know.
I mean, do you think they can roll him out after, especially this was what Sam Mays and I were talking about the other day, that maybe the Tua situation does play into this a little bit, but I especially think that with that injury, it's going to be a hard sell to try and run him back out there this week.
I think the
based
Tua
on
situation,
what the conversations
listen, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the deal is with Dylan Gabriel, the specifics, but I do think in general, concussion-wise, in all of football, I think the Tua situation plays into it a lot right now.
Well, it's the conversation everywhere, so I think so, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, if we assume he's not playing, I mean.
I don't think it has anything to do with it, to be honest with you guys. I really don't. I mean, if he's ready to go, they're going to play him.
Okay. All right.
I mean, if
well, I'm not saying if he's ready to go. I think that if there's a question, that's when the Tua situation plays into it because there is such a conversation about head trauma right now.
I respect those guys that are on the medical staff down there, same way I do at Oklahoma State, that they're not going to put a guy out there that can't go. But if he passes the concussion protocol, the heck, he's absolutely going to play. I mean, they need
him.
There's a huge difference between the top spot and the backup at OU.
Mark, you also agree a bunch of guys have been cleared that weren't ready to go. Not only in the last few weeks, but in the last few years and many years. I believe that there have been guys playing with concussions. Players say themselves they've played with concussions.
I've heard numerous players. What about Cam Newton?
Yeah.
What about Cam Newton that last year in Carolina? I mean, that they ran him back out there.
I think the NFL and college are a little bit different.
Well, they are. You're right about that.
So you don't think they've been running people out there with concussions for years?
I think there's a process that they go through, and I would think that the medical guys at OU, I mean, Scott Anderson for all those years.
I'm saying in general, but yeah, okay. All right.
Yes. Well, I mean, anyway. I do think that, but I do think that there's a protocol, and I don't think that they, to or not, I think if he doesn't pass, he wouldn't play.
I just don't see a lot of chance for Oklahoma without Gabriel. And I know he was playing poorly. He was part of the problem against TCU. I just didn't see it. I mean, Davis Bevel, is he going to be their guy, Marcus, if Gabriel is out, or is there some other solution that we don't know about?
No, there is no other solution. I mean, I think you could probably try other guys there, but there's a reason why they recruited a bunch of quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I understand they had – but with Gabriel, they had 550 yards against K-State. I know they had the early turnover. With Mims, if you're trying to look at the glass half full, they had guys wide open that Gabriel was missing. So, yeah, it's possible that this offense comes back and looks different. But I'm not seeing it without Gabriel. I didn't see enough from Bevel. I did see him against Pittsburgh. I mean, when he was playing for Pittsburgh against Michigan State in the bowl game, he looked a lot better than he did last week. I don't know. I'm just not seeing it. Plus, I think the bigger problem's on the defensive side coming out of TCU, right, guys?
Bad everywhere.
I think there's problems everywhere. Yeah, I agree with Mark. And quite frankly, I think that if Gabriel is not going to be able to go, which my assumption is that he's not, I think all restrictions should be off. I think that the coaching staff needs to do every potential scenario that could help Oklahoma win and get back on track, and that's up to and including seeing quarterbacks that we haven't seen yet. Let's see what they can do. I mean, my man, the general, didn't look that great last week, but I want to see him run out there if things aren't going well.
General Booty, that's
my man. Solution.
All right.
I don't know that that's the solution, but I'm just saying that you can't put any restrictions on, well, we're going to go with this guy and we're going to ride him.
Right.
If things aren't going well, then make a change because you got nothing else to lose at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So, Mark, have we talked you into the fact that it's not going to be a game within 7 points?
Craig, I'm like you think I'm a bass today. I mean, like you're just like trolling me all day.
No,
I'm going to make you a bet that this game's going to be within 7 points.
Okay. I thought that's where were headed, giving us all those numbers.
I went 3-8-1 last week. Why am I going to try to pigeonhole myself into a 14-point window?
All right. No, I was just curious.
I'm not interested in your spinnerbait today. No, I'm not going to make that bet.
Okay. Well, anything else on OU Texas, Marcus, that we need to dive into before we take a
time out? Yes, I will. I think that the Sports Animal pregame show, which I will appear on, is fantastic. But if you have a television set and you would like to watch KOCO's pregame show, I will be participating in that. And I did sit down yesterday with Bob and Barry and had a little conversation with both of them about the OU-Texas rivalry. And I will say it was fantastic. So might even be able to grab a copy of that and play it on the radio in its entirety. So, but I think that people will thoroughly enjoy listening to the two of them share some of their favorite memories about the OU Texas game.
Dallas Cowboys, one of the big stories early on in the NFL season. And Matt, so you said that Mike Greenberg is pushing Cooper Rush for NFL MVP so far?
He is also pushing Mike McCarthy for Coach of the Year in the NFL.
Oh, come on now.
I thought it was good that Dan Graziano, he came back and said, I'm not even sure he would be second in his own division for Coach of the Year behind, you know, Sirianni and Dabble. I give credit where credit's due. Rush has played really well, but MVP of the NFL? Come on now. Let's tap the brakes a little bit. Mike Greenberg, the gift that never keeps – or the gift that keeps on giving. Rush has done what you should do as a backup, you know. Hit some throws. Don't turn the ball over. I kind of have a feeling, guys, tide's going to turn this weekend. I really like the Rams, given the 6.5.
The Rams, the numbers seems pretty high. The Rams aren't what – they're nowhere near as good as they were last year. Their offensive line is a problem. They can't run the football very well. And I think that any team that faces Dallas that has a suspect offensive line could be in for a long day with Micah Parsons and the way that the rest of the defense is playing. And Dallas, the offensive line, they can run block. It's not bad. Pollard and Zeke, the line scares me. It's high for a reason, I guess. I know the Rams probably have a bounce-back game after playing poorly on Monday night, but I wouldn't put anything past the Cowboys. Cowboys got a good shot, I think, to go out there and get a win.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rams have problems all over the place. They're just not playing well. I agree. I think that line, it's something seems off to me in that line. Matt Stafford's not playing that well. Cooper Rush is doing what he needs to do to keep Dallas in games and winning games. I thought Dallas should have beaten up on Washington more than they did last week, but that's all right. They still won and still covered, so that was a good thing. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I agree with you, Matt. I mean, you like the Rams even laying the 6.5. You don't, not just in a straight-up battle.
Yeah,
you think the Rams are going to win by more than a touchdown.
I just kind of think it's a good spot for the Rams. I think, you know, the Rams are coming off of a game where they didn't look very good against the 49ers. I think that has a way of refocusing teams. I think people are starting to heap a little bit of praise on the Cowboys. You know, heck, you've got that one idiot for ESPN saying that Cooper Rush is the MVP of the NFL, for crying out loud. I don't know. I just, from a, what's the word? From an intangible standpoint, I kind of like the Rams to bounce back. I know that the Rams just gave up 7 sacks to San Francisco, and I know that Dallas can really rush the passer. I just kind of get the feeling that the Cowboys are due for a dose of reality. Maybe that won't come the following week until Philadelphia, but I don't know. I just have a feeling that the Rams are going to bounce back this week.
Matt, you got to at least say this, and I'm not saying he's the MVP, but you got to say this for Cooper Rush, that going back to his first start, remember against Minnesota when he drove him down the field, hit the big throw to Amari Cooper and so forth? The guy has been clutch. And even in the
– sure.
The comeback win over Cincinnati, right, in the New York game, I mean, when he's been and it's not like he's had to lead double-digit comebacks or anything. I guess 7 has been the biggest deficit that he's faced. But – he's had a lot of big drives on must-make, like third-down throws or whatever, that he's had to make to lead them either to comeback wins or close wins so far in his 4 wins. So, you know,
listen,
it's pretty good for a young quarterback.
I don't think that they need to rush Dak Prescott back out there. Cooper Rush is doing a fine job, and he's playing with poise. But to say that he's the MVP, and I know that's not what you're saying, Craig,
no,
but
I'm not
to
saying,
Greenberg's
no.
point, to say that he's the MVP over Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, the way that they've played so far this year, that's
dumbass.
That is nothing but throwing fire.
Yes,
is all that
correct.
Is.
If he wins the next two, maybe he should be included in the MVP discussions. But those are two tough
okay,
ones.
Okay, but
coming
even
up,
then,
huh,
okay, even then, when you say if he wins, the defense is carrying this team.
Okay, but you know, but again.
Craig, I know you like to put so much praise on the quarterback, but I mean, I'm just saying the defense for Dallas is what's winning these games. He's playing well.
I think the offensive philosophy has also been an eye-opener for the Cowboys. Is that this is the way they need to play when Dak comes back, too. Dak has a tendency to force things to CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, all of that. He's got to play within himself. And this, you know, of the Cowboys of the past, the year that Dak threw for all those yards, they got behind in a bunch of games, and some of them were empty calories. But
correct.
He
and a lot of reason they got behind is because of Dak. Yeah,
Dak needs to stop forcing things. He needs to run the football first. I'm not sure whether that's Kellen Moore or it's something that Dak has done and Cooper Rush has gone in and kind of followed the game plan a little bit better. But I don't, to me, that's what I mean, the way that Dak played in the first game and some of the way that he's played in the past, there's just not a whole lot of difference between Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush. Not a whole lot, especially if he makes poor decisions all the time.
No, if you go back, we went back. I mean, we said, you know, last year, Marcus, you go back and look at a lot of those Cowboy losses, and against the good teams, Dak was not performing, you know, and he was, you could make a case, he was the reason they lost a bunch of those games. And so, yeah, that's been the impressive thing to me about Rush is what he's not done is make the mistakes that kill him. You know,
that's fair.
He hasn't, but I will also say this. He had two interceptions called back because of penalty last week.
Whatever, so, but they weren't. I mean, we can say ifs and buts, but, you know, but he's not throwing interceptions. And,
okay. I mean, he's leading them.
Okay. Well, all I'm seeing him do is convert one clutch down after another. And key situations, close games for this team so far. It's only four games. Yeah, doesn't make him MVP, but it does make the. I'd have to say, people wrote him off when Dak was hurt. Said season's gone, this and that. Well, all of a sudden you look up and they're 3-1 and they are definitely a factor. Marcus, what else NFL wise?
Tonight's game, no Jonathan Taylor for the Colts. It's been a really disappointing season so far for them. Yeah. And the Broncos, to me, have a better record than what they've played. They couldn't stop the run last week against the Raiders. So that should be a pretty good game tonight.
Yeah. And Brad, Indy, one of the big disappointments at 1-2-1. Denver sitting there at 2-2. Slow start.
I would argue the Broncos are one of the big disappointments in the season, too. This may be the matchup of the two biggest disappointments in addition to the Bengals. I'm really curious about the Bengals-Ravens game. Ravens favored by 3 over a Bengals team that has really struggled. But if you look at the numbers, it's not like I'm saying Lamar Jackson's one of the guys I would say would be MVP ahead of Cooper Rush, but they're not lighting up the world on offense, the Ravens right now. They're running the ball on the ground. They're moving the ball on the ground. Part of that because of Lamar Jackson more than they're airing it out. So I think that game is really intriguing this weekend.
Well, I would say their defense, the Ravens. I'd say their defense has been the biggest problem, though. I mean, they've scored. They've blown some big leads. I mean, right? Two times they had, you know, big leads in games that they should have won. And I think the defense was a big part in letting those games get away. Guys, you find anything intriguing at all about Eagles-Cardinals? Late game on Fox on Sunday afternoon.
Cardinals are really hard to predict. I think that'll be a high-scoring game. But second straight week for Kyler going up against an OU quarterback?
Yeah.
That's a good game. Who's going to hand the Eagles their first loss?
Let's
see. Let me look at the
schedule.
That's
a good question.
Go for a few weeks. It could be this week.
Craig, we said before the year, at least I did, I thought the Eagles could be 8-1.
Yeah, we said, I mean, they're the first schedule. I mean, if after this, they got the Cowboys, but it's home. That's going to be that might be the game of the year so far in the NFL if the Cowboys could beat the Rams this weekend. But it'll be a big one anyway on a Sunday night game, right, Matt? Eagles, Cowboys, and then they got my Steelers, easy win, at Texans, easy win, Commanders, easy win, at Colts. Looks easier
depends
now
on
than
what the Colts
the
do between now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But
then
going
they got
into
a Packers
season,
matchup on a Sunday night. Yeah. So. They're
playing the Packers at home. I mean, their schedule really is very friendly to them to have a good year, and they're playing well. I mean, they could drop a game at some point. But their schedule really lays out in a way that they ought to be in great shape come the end of the season.
Well, Eagles, I think right now the Eagles have been the story in the NFC, And I think right now most people would say Buffalo is still the team to beat in the AFC, but it is early.
There's an interesting fact on the Cardinals that they've lost 7 straight at home, and they've won now 10 of 11 on the road.
That's crazy.
Remember last year they won in that tough division. They won all 3 of their divisional games on the road.
That's crazy. The fact that they've lost that many in a row at home is shocking, too.
You said 7 in a row, right, Mark? At home.
That's 7 in a row. It'll be 8 if they lose this week. And they're pretty significant underdog in this game, right?
That's not the greatest home field advantage we've talked about, you know, in Phoenix, but for a lot of different reasons.
You're talking about NFL MVPs. I don't know that Jalen Hurts is 1 or 2 in that conversation, but he is absolutely, to me, the most improved player in the NFL. That this is not a joke. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's no fluke. I mean, Jalen Hurts has improved his throwing ability pretty significantly. They put a lot of weapons around him, and the Eagles are more than legit.
Well, and right now, if they were taking a vote today, NFL MVP, I mean, he would be up there.
Yeah,
probably
absolutely.
In the top 2. This auction house is prepared to offer $2 million. They claim that they've already made an offer of $2 million. Even before it happened, they said they would pay $2 million for number 62, and they say that offer is still standing. Now, they said the record price for a home run ball is $3 million, paid for Mark McGwire's 70th home run from the 1998 season. Mark, I mean, would you take $2 million right now for that Aaron Judge home run ball number 62?
Yeah, sign me up. I'd take $2 million right now for that. I'm not sure that this guy wants to, but what, $2
million? Mark, you're a better businessman than that. You got to hold out for more than $2 million.
The problem they've got with this is, and by the way, Mark, how many sections over were you from where the guy caught the ball?
Right there. I was right there. Those tickets that we told everybody to buy them, there were plenty of people in the stands.
Yeah, it was packed.
Because the tickets were readily available.
Yeah, it was a great environment. But the problem that they got with this guy is he's a financial advisor. I think that I can't remember what the number was, but it was an astronomical figure.
Like $195 million that they made.
Yeah, it was somewhere in the $200 million neighborhood. Yeah. And so that's one of those guys that I don't know. He's not going to be as eager to part with the ball for the first offer as somebody else might be. You or I might be. I would in a heartbeat. But that guy's probably going to be a little more shrewd in the way that he deals with it. So I don't know if he's going to come off of it for the $2 million.
Yeah, I think you're right, Brad. Anyway, Marcus, to the playoffs. Your Cardinals right in there. They're going
against the Phillies.
Yeah,
can't wait. Phillies are a worthy adversary. They're pretty good in the top of the rotation. Aaron Nola and Wheeler had some success against the Cardinals earlier this season. The bullpen for Philadelphia is an absolute mess. They can really slug. I'm glad that the games are in St. Louis, where the Cardinals have been really good this season. Philadelphia's park a little bit easier to go deep in.
Why are the Phillies favored in this series, Mark?
Are they favored?
That's what it looks like, according to what I'm seeing here, which is shocking to me.
Are they really?
Well, daggone it.
That's pretty surprising to me, too. Matt, I mean, as...
That would be surprising to me. I said earlier today, of the 4 wild card series, I feel the most confident in the Cardinals winning.
Don't know how to feel about that. I don't know if Matt is trying to put
I promise. I knew you were going to say that. I'm serious. I mean, Nola hasn't been as good this year as he's been in the past. Phillies will certainly strike out a lot. I don't know. I like what St. Louis has going on.
Zach Wheeler going in game 1 for Philly, and the Cardinals are the series favorite, -140. So a small favorite.
Okay. The other series?
Indians and the Guardians and the Rays. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't necessarily excite me very much there. Padres-Mets will be good. You know what the run total opened on that game on Friday? Scherzer and Darvish? Lowest I've ever seen.
I will guess 5.5.
Got it right than the number. 5.5. It went up to 6, but
That's a you might take the under.
Darvish and Scherzer, that'll be awesome.
Hey, this, you know, postseason baseball is fantastic, you know, where the bats mean so much, and it's – I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
No question about it. So all gets underway on Friday, and game one of the Rays-Guardians, 12:07 on ESPN on Friday. We'll get it all started off. We had a dramatic finish to the National League batting title race. Freddie Freeman made a run at Jeff McNeil, Marcus, but he just came up short. Freeman needed to go 4-for-4. They held McNeil out of the lineup. They did put him in late as a defensive replacement. He never came to the plate. So Freeman, he knows he's got to go 4-for-4, and he hits a double, and he hits a homer, and then he hits another one deep, and it's caught at the warning track. Then he singled in his fourth at-bat. He went 3-for-4, and he came up 1 point short, Marcus.
How do you like to try to pitch to the Dodgers lineup?
Oh, it's absurd.
Yeah. No, that's one of the better lineups ever, especially at the top of it. It's just really tough. The Dodgers usually get the bad end of the stick on some of these games, and I think it plays to their disadvantage is if they get the – you know, the 5 o'clock start time because of television, and, you know, the first 3-4 innings of those games are in the shadows, and I think it really evens things out. You know, it's just so difficult to see the ball.
What are Scherzer and DeGrom, what's their status, Mark? Are they okay? Are they fine?
Good to go. Yep, DeGrom.
They're good to go. Okay.
DeGrom lost the game to the Braves in that series. But, yeah, that is a team that can really pitch.
So your Cardinals playing at so is that 107?
1 o'clock.
So I think
1 o'clock. So that two was the Eastern time. Okay, gotcha. So the first game's 11 o'clock. Yeah, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, 11:07.
I hope I don't pull a hammy down there at Bevo Bash tomorrow.
So you're going to be in a race to get to Dallas. Quickly. Yeah, Philly St. Louis 107 our time, ABC, the Seattle Toronto 307 ESPN, and then the nightcap is San Diego Mets 707 our time on ESPN. Any overall prediction, Marcus? World Series prediction, or do you not want to make one to jinx your Cardinals or anything?
Well, if I picked the Cardinals, it wouldn't happen. I think this is. I think it's going to be the Dodgers and the Astros.
Yeah,
this team's been really good.
In any other teams, I mean,
I have to go with the Dodgers in the NL. The American League is interesting. I had the Yankees early on in the year. The Astros, I think, took 5 out of 7 from the Yankees this year. Wow, I would probably have to. There's a part of me just wants to stick with the pick of Dodgers Yankees, but
that's not a terrible pick, Matt. I don't hate that pick at all.
Yeah, but the Astros they handled the Yankees pretty good when they played this year.
Is that yours, Brad? Dodgers.
I mean, you could push me with a feather and get me to go either way with the Astros or the Yankees. I think the Dodgers are a lock in the NL, but I think the Yankees have a shot in the American League. I just think they're doing well, and you know, they're riding that high of Aaron Judge, and I don't know. I like the Yankees this year.
So Matt, who you got?
I'll stick with the Yankees because it's what I made in the preseason.
Okay.
So I'll stick with them, although I don't feel real good about it. Do feel good about LA in the National League.
And I'll go Dodgers, Astros.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in LA.
You were living in LA? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.